Hi, I'm Lacey Wolf, and I promote wellness on behalf of the ERS Group Benefits Plan. I want to welcome you to Walk and Talk, where I'm inviting you to go on a 20-minute walk with me while I have a conversation about health and life with an interesting person. My goal is simple, to encourage you to take a break and to do something good for your health, both above and below the neck. So go ahead and put on your walking shoes and head out the door with me as we go for a walk and talk. I am super excited about our guest today. Dr. Janet Tornelli Mitchell went out on a walk with me, and she is just an incredible person. She's actually the first lady at Texas Tech University. Her husband is the chancellor there. And she's also had an incredible career in her own right as a primary care physician. Interestingly, she served as Laura Bush's personal physician, and she also serves on the Laura Bush Institute for Women's Health. So she's very, very passionate about women's health issues. Today, she's going to talk to us about some of the strategies she used to help maintain her own personal health while balancing a career and family, raising three children. And she's going to talk about some of her personal passions. So this is a really good one. You might want to break this one up because it goes about 27 minutes. So if you need to break it up and do a couple walks, that's fine too. I hope you enjoy and stay with us as we walk and talk. Hi, Dr. Mitchell, and welcome to Walk and Talk. I'm excited to go out on a walk with you today. I am calling from Pflugerville, Texas, and I know that you are in Lubbock, as was my last guest I actually interviewed, but I understand it's pretty cold up there today.
Yes, it is. In fact, Lacey, I decided that it would not be a good idea to be chatting with you over the phone outside because the winds are 20, 25 miles an hour, and with the wind chill, it's in the teens, so I did take my dogs out for a morning walk, but I decided I would just join you on my treadmill inside.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Well, I'm just so happy to have the opportunity to talk to you today. And for me, it's such a treat to get to talk to someone with your breadth of knowledge and experience, and especially having been a primary care physician for so many years and all the things that you're into today.
Well, you're so kind. Thank you.
I wanted to kind of start with, I know that you were a physician at the Cooper Clinic, and I thought it would be interesting for you just to sort of tell people what that was like and what are some of the most common things that you would see in individuals. What's something you would tell everybody over and over and over again?
Absolutely. Well, you know, just to begin with, let me tell you a little bit about the Cooper Clinic in case you or some of your listeners may not know what the Cooper Clinic is. But Dr. Ken Cooper, many years ago, decided that he wanted to help. He was in the military, and he wanted to improve the health and wellness of military recruits because they were noted not to have very good physical conditioning. And so there's a long story behind it, and if anybody's interested, they can go and find many books on Dr. Ken Cooper and his research. But he instituted this program where if people did certain physical activities, it generated certain number of points. For example, if you went out for a brisk walk for 30 minutes, it generated so many what he called aerobic points. If you rode a bicycle for so long, it generated this number. If you swam for a while, it would generate this number of points. And then he decided to tell people that if you got so many aerobic points a week, it would improve your health and your wellness and your physical fitness level. And so in 1970, he decided to publish a lot of his findings, and he published a book called Aerobics. And so Dr. Ken Cooper is the one who actually coined that term aerobic exercise or aerobics.
Wow.
In fact, he has helped millions of people all over the world improve their physical fitness level. In Brazil, he went to teach the Brazilian soccer team how to improve their physical fitness. And I don't know, Lacey, you may not be old enough to remember who Pele was. Did you ever hear of Pele?
I've heard of Pele.
Yeah, very famous Brazilian soccer player. And so he went and helped them improve their physical fitness level by showing them different forms of activity that they could do to win these aerobic points. And so when you go to Brazil now, people don't say, hey, did you do your aerobic exercise? Hey, did you jog? They say, hey, did you do your Cooper? and they call it Dr. Ken Cooper.
That's incredible.
It is. And his story is amazing. But anyway, so after this, Dr. Ken Cooper decided to establish the Cooper Clinic, a clinic where people would come and you know, they would get a very detailed evaluation from a physician about their medical history, their family medical history, their eating habits, their exercise habits, whether they smoke, whether they drink, et cetera, et cetera. And he would devise a plan to help them improve their long-term health and conditioning. Because back in 1970, Dr. Cooper was thinking about prevention, about how important it was really to prevent illness rather than doing what physicians at the time did, just focus on treating health problems once they occurred. So he was actually way ahead of his time. He is probably one of the founding physicians that started that whole concept of preventive medicine and not just defensive medicine. In fact, he was one of the first people that started telling people who had heart attacks or who had heart disease to go out and exercise and walk. Because back in 1970, if you had a heart attack, you were put to bed rest. And you were told that you needed to stay at home for the rest of your life. I mean, your life changed. And Dr. Cooper said, no, that's wrong. We don't need to do that. These people need to go out and exercise and get healthy once they've been treated for their heart attack and put on medications. And what he was saying was so new and so far out that the medical community in Dallas tried to kick him out. And the Texas Medical Board actually tried to remove his license to practice medicine because what he was saying was just so far out there, and people just thought that it was wrong. And now here we are in 2020, and we know that one of the most important things that we can do is stay physically active, eat healthy, keep our weight down if we want to have good long-term health and fitness. And so the Cooper Clinic still exists, and through all of these years, every patient that comes in and gets an assessment from the Cooper Clinic, which includes a physical fitness assessment, all of their data is contained in a reservoir. And so the Cooper Clinic has published some of the world's most famous data on the benefits of exercise and what it has on health and fitness. So a lot of the that you see published around the world today about the effects of exercise on health and wellness come from the repository of information that the Cooper Clinic has.
Wow.
So for me to practice in a place like that was absolutely heaven. And in fact, that's why when we left the Cooper Clinic, I always said, I wouldn't want to practice medicine anywhere else other than the Cooper Clinic. And I loved it because at the Cooper Clinic, I only had 4 patients a day, and I got to spend between 2 to 3 hours a day with each patient, just talking about their health, their wellness, and what they needed to do to stay healthy. So one of my focuses has always been the health of women. And so most of my patients were actually women, although I did have male patients. And my focus was really in helping women improve their health and fitness. Because, you know, Lacey, as you know, women, we're caregivers, we're caretakers. We're the ones that take care of our family. But what ends up happening is while we take care of the rest of our family, we don't take care of ourselves. And that was one of my big concerns in practicing medicine, that I saw these fabulous women always taking care of their children, their husbands, their extended families. But when you ask them, well, what do you do for stress management? What do you do to keep your weight down? What do you do to keep yourself healthy? It was this blank stare. And so I have always focused on trying to help women take care of themselves.
Well, and you were a mother yourself. You raised 3 kids. And I understand you also have a grandchild, correct?
I do.
That's amazing.
Gosh, she's the crystal angel.
Well, as a working mother, in working in a position where I'm sure there was a lot of stress on you as well, being a mother, wife, doctor, how did you manage your health? You know, how did you take care of your own stress and make sure that you got your own physical activity in every day?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because as many women out there know, It is really very difficult to balance a work life and a family life. I always felt like I was cheating somebody. I was either cheating my patients for not being there, or I was cheating my family for not being there. And it is stressful. And at the time, my children, well, I had a daughter and I had two sons. And not only did I want to teach my daughter, but I wanted to teach my children the importance of staying physically fit and healthy and managing their stress, because we all have stress. We all have stress of one level or another. And that's life. You have to figure out how to deal with life and with stress. And so I wanted to be a role model to them. And so I always made sure that my kids saw that I was being physically active in one way or the other. And we've always tried to maintain, eat healthy. I've never been one that just cut back so much on the amount of food that I eat. My thing has always been, I'm going to try to eat healthy, and I'm just going to try to moderate what I eat. So, like for this last Thanksgiving, I would say to my kids, everything looks good. I want to try it all, but I'm only going to eat a little bit of everything. So I don't deprive myself of anything. I have a taste of it, but it's small and in moderation. And so that's what we did at home when the kids were growing up. We would eat whatever they wanted, but it was in small amounts, in moderation, and always putting exercise there. And I remember even one time when my daughter was in sixth grade, and you know how girls can be to each other, kind of mean and catty. And I remember my daughter came home and it had a little conflict with one of her girlfriends, and she was all upset and everything. And then she goes, "Mom, I'll be right back." And I said, what are you going to do? She goes, "I'm going to go get on your treadmill and I'm going to walk a little bit because I just need to relieve my stress."
That's amazing.
Because she was mimicking something that she had seen me do in the past.
Parenting win. That's awesome.
Okay. The message got through, you know?
That is incredible. Yeah. It's modeling that behavior. And are all your kids also taking care of themselves and continue to exercise?
Yes, actually, yes. And, for example, my boys, when they were in high school, they played football. And of course, the coaches are always wanting them to gain weight. And so my boys thought that the way to gain weight was just to eat more. And obviously, it's eating things that are not that healthy for you. And so as they were growing up, I would say, no, you're not going to eat more. If you want to gain weight, you're going to gain it with muscle mass at the gym, not by eating more food. And at that time, they weren't real happy with me because all their other friends were eating two or three hamburgers at one sitting and this and that. And I said, what happens is you develop these eating habits while you're in high school that will stay with you for all your adult life. And you'll be wanting to eat two or three hamburgers at one sitting when you're no longer playing football, when you're no longer young and burning calories the way you do. So no, you're not going to eat that way. You are going to go to the gym and gain muscle. And to this day, my kids do that.
I also wanted just to talk a little bit about your personal passion and how you stay fit by working with your horses every day. Could you tell the folks out on the walk with us about your horses and how long have you been doing this?
Well, I ride dressage. It's an English form of riding. It's actually an Olympic sport. And a lot of people call it like ballet on horses. And so I have three horse. I used to ride when I was in junior high. And in those days I used to jump horses, but I figured I'm a little too old to do that now. And injuries kind of scare me. So I decided I'd do something safer where I'm not jumping. And so I do dressage. And so, I have three horses that I ride every day and I train and I compete with. And that has, since I've left the practice of medicine, that has actually become one of my, what I call full-time jobs, because I really don't have help. I take care of the horses here at my house. That means that I pick up hay, I pick up feed, I clean stalls, I groom them, I ride them. So I do all the work. And it's very interesting because when I was practicing medicine, I didn't have a hobby or a passion that was very physical like what I have now. So when I was working at the Cooper Clinic, I always made sure that I engaged in a form of what I call formal exercise, meaning that I would go out on and walk, or that I'd get on a treadmill or a stair climber, which I did a lot back in those days, et cetera, et cetera. And so I would engage in a formal exercise program. And while I was at the Cooper Clinic, you know, like I had mentioned, we do physical fitness assessments on people on a treadmill. So when I would do my physical assessments at the Cooper Clinic, I would always get into the highest level of physical fitness that I could achieve for my age and gender. So that always made me feel good that the exercise that I was formally engaging in was giving me the fitness that I needed. But when I got here to Lubbock and started riding full time, what I started noticing is that I really didn't have the time in the day to engage in that formal exercise program where I would actually get on the treadmill or get on the stair climber. But I was walking all day long. And in fact, you know, I wore a pedometer, and when the Fitbits came out, I had my Fitbit. And I noticed that just in my day dealing with the horses, I would get anywhere between 20 and sometimes even 30,000 steps. Keeping in mind that the goal for most people is to at least get 10,000 a day. So being outside, working with the horses, dealing with the hay, the feed, cleaning stalls, et cera, I was getting 20 and 30,000 steps a day. But it wasn't this formal 30-minute on the treadmill or 30-minute on the stair climber program. And I was wondering how that had affected my physical fitness level. So I decided to go back to the Cooper Clinic and do another stress test where they would do a physical fitness assessment. And I wanted to see if my day-to-day activities taking care of the horses were enough to give me the physical fitness I used to have. And to my surprise, I found out that yes, I was still able to get into that high level of physical fitness that I should have for my age and gender. And so what it showed me is that my day was so physically active that I didn't need to engage in a formal exercise program because I was getting what I needed at that point. And so the moral of that for most people is this. If you don't have time to engage in an exercise program for 30 minutes straight or 40 minutes straight or whatever your goal is, if you walk 5 minutes a day or 5 minutes at a time or 10 minutes at a time, but you do that multiple times through the day, if it adds up to 30 minutes, you are still getting the same physical fitness benefit than if you did it for 30 minutes in a row.
That's fantastic. So the people going out on this walk with us for 20 minutes,
there. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the thing, from the studies and the research done at the Cooper Clinic, we know that if at least 3 days a week you do some physical activity for a total of 30 minutes. Remember, I said a total. It doesn't have to be consecutive. You can walk minutes at a time, three times during the day or however you want to split it. If 3 days a week for 30 minutes you do that, you will have a level of physical fitness that it will actually already lower your risk for heart disease, diabetes, and many cancers. It will improve your physical fitness. Now, if you want to lose weight, that's something where you do need to put in more time. So if your goal is, I just want to improve my physical fitness level, I just want to improve my health, I want to lower my risk of disease, just do it three times a week for a total of 30 minutes in a day. But if you actually want to lose weight, that's where the kicker comes in. You have to do it more often, and the longer you do it, the better. So instead of adding up 30 minutes in a day, if you do 50 minutes or 60 minutes in a day for weight loss purposes, that's much better. The more you do it and the longer you do it, the better it is. And a lot of people will say, well, today I didn't have time. I didn't have time to do those total 50 minutes. It doesn't matter. Something is better than nothing. So even if you're trying to lose weight and today you only added up to 30 minutes or you only added up to the time that you and I are walking right now, 20 minutes, that's okay. Anything is better than nothing.
Absolutely. I love that. And I personally have felt like walking. I'm in my 40s now, and I just love walking. And I like to talk to people. I like to listen to podcasts. And it's such a great way just to get out away from my kids. Little self-care.
So, absolutely. And again, you know, that 20 minutes that you're doing, even though it's you know, time for you to listen to podcasts, you are exercising. You are producing hormones in your brain that actually help to lower your stress level and help to really improve your overall emotional well-being. And you know, Lacey, in this year, this crazy, bizarre pandemic year that we've had, it's great to be outside. It's great to get some fresh air. And if at the same time, when people's stress and anxiety levels are so high from everything that's going on, to be able to just calm yourself down a little bit by going on a little brisk walk, there's so much you can do with just 20 minutes.
It feels so good. Before we get off here, I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about the initiatives that you have going at Tech for your Tech family to improve health and well-being.
Absolutely. Well, so last year, we were told by the state, since we are a state agency, that when they looked at the health and wellness of all of our employees, that we ranked at the lowest level compared to other employees from other state agencies. And this was very concerning to all of us and to my husband, who's the chancellor of the system, because we know exactly what it means when somebody is not healthy. Not only are they not healthy for themselves, it increases the risk of diseases, but their overall well-being is affected, their productivity at work is affected. And so we decided that we needed to try to do something to improve the health and wellness of all of our employees. So ERS, Employment Retirement Services here at the state, has been great with us, because through our insurance with them, we are able to join this program called Naturally Slim. And it's a great program because it's not a diet. It's not a fat diet. It's what I call the psychology of eating. There are little podcasts that kind of explain to you why you eat. It helps you understand why you eat, when you eat. It's what I call really truly the psychology of eating. And so we are able to offer this program to our employees and try to teach them what stress does to their eating, how they can eat in different ways to reach a level of fullness, faster, so that they're not overeating, they're not emotionally eating. And then we start adding things like, hey, go for a walk with your friends or with your coworkers, or let's say you're at work and getting tired and sleepy, go up and downstairs for 5 minutes. Do that several times a day. It will wake you up. It'll improve your productivity. And so by just being more careful about how we eat and being more physically active, we are hoping that we are going to improve the health and wellness of our employees, that we will also be able to see that they're emotionally in a better place. They manage their stress level. We're going to see, hopefully, that they're losing weight. And by losing weight, they'll have less problems in either developing, or if they already have developed the high blood pressure or diabetes or heart disease, that we're going to see improvements in all of those areas. And so we're really excited. We have a Facebook group. And in fact, just before you and I were talking today, I was on my Facebook group looking at some of the success stories of our employees. We started this September 1st. One of our employees has already lost 26 pounds. They feel better. They look better. And they're really excited. And so we're just hoping that we're going to be able to get a lot more people healthier in our system.
That's amazing. I'm just so happy that y'all are able to promote that program. You know, we have two weight management programs, Naturally Slim and Real Appeals for ERS participants. And it really takes all of us working together to make sure that employees know about it. So that's one of the reasons why I'm so grateful for you know, building a relationship with you and your husband and just all the work that y'all are doing to support your employees.
Well, we are grateful to you guys because through you guys, we are able to make this benefit possible for our employees. And it's you guys listening to our needs and saying, yes, you're right. Health and wellness is important. We're going to do whatever we can to help you promote that. So I think it's a two-way street. I mean, it takes all of us working together to try to get everybody healthier. So we appreciate you guys tremendously.
We're all really promoting, just like you said when we started, what Dr. Cooper said, you know, prevention is the key. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for taking this walk with me, Dr. Mitchell. It was such an honor to get to spend some time with you.
Thank you for all of your help and helping us all get healthier. I mean, this is such a great endeavor and something that is so simple and easy to do. It doesn't cost money. You don't have to do really anything out of the way. Just change some of your habits, and it's going to be so fruitful, you know? So thank
Absolutely.
You for all your help.
Thank you.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed this edition of Walk and Talk as much as I did. Dr. Mitchell was fantastic to talk to, just so much information. I'm going to have to get her on another walk with me in the future so we can expand more on some of the things she was talking about. But if you have any questions about any of the things we talked about or want information about the wellness benefits that are available through the health plan, please feel free to email me at wellness@ers.texas.gov. Or look at our website. We've got tons of information there, ers.texas.gov/wellness. And I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day wherever you are.